You're listening to the Teach Them Diligently podcast, where we're all about biblical parenting and excellent home education. For more information and to access show notes and additional resources, visit us at teachthemdiligently.net. Welcome to the Teach Them Diligently podcast. Today, Leslie Nunnery is joined by Elizabeth Urbanowitz to discuss the importance of teaching kids to think critically and biblically, equipping them to discern truth from feelings, and the significance of a solid foundation for faith. Elizabeth is a follower of Jesus Christ who is passionate about equipping kids to understand the truth of a Christian worldview. She is a former elementary school teacher and the founder of Foundation Worldview, where she develops comparative worldview and apologetic resources for children. Her goal is to prepare the next generation to be lifelong critical thinkers and, most importantly, lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ. Today, Leslie and Elizabeth will be talking about the role of parents in modeling critical thinking and faith, as well as the importance of getting kids into God's Word. And she'll address the challenge of cultural issues and offers an overview of the resources available through Foundation Worldview. This conversation falls right into the heart school mark of recognizing your call. For it's hard to overstate the importance of the mission that God has given you as a parent within your home, to bring your children to Jesus and prepare them to think biblically about things as they follow Him in the days ahead. Leslie covers this in the Heart School book and the Heart School Parenting Intensive, so I encourage you to check the show notes to learn more about those things if you'd like to dive deeper into being a Heart School family. The Teach Them Diligently team would also love to invite you to join us at the event this May. The events will be in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee and Branson, Missouri, and they are coming quick. So be sure to get your ticket now and start making your plans. I promise you'll be glad you did. You can get more details about Heart School and the TTD events in the show notes or by visiting teachthemdiligently.net today. And now, won't you join Leslie and Elizabeth in today's show? Do you want to fight for, not with, the ones you love? I'm excited to introduce a new book, Fighting for Family by Chris and Julie Bennett. The Bennetts invite you to step into their story of leaving the Oklahoma church Chris had pastored, uprooting their family of six, and moving to Los Angeles, a big adventure made even more complicated by a cancer diagnosis and a worldwide pandemic. Through it all, family was stressful, messy, exhausting, and absolutely, totally worth fighting for. If you're looking for inspiration and strategies to help your family thrive, get your copy of Fighting for Family today. Visit fightingforfamily.org or find it wherever books are sold. I love to share resources that I know will strengthen your family's faith and give you answers to difficult questions that you're likely to face. Recently, I got to preview a film that I am so excited to recommend to you. It's coming to theaters across the U.S. on March 20th and 21st, an epic film on Noah's flood. This film unveils compelling evidence in support of the Bible, including what happened to the dinosaurs? Why do we find soft tissue and blood in their bones today? Why did God send the flood? What are the parallels between the days of Noah and the coming judgment? I learned a lot of things I'd never heard or considered. So I encourage you to mark your calendars for March 20th and 21st and be prepared to experience the Genesis flood like never before. Get your tickets today at noahsflood.com. The theaters are already filling up and Fathom Events has opened up even more showings. So let's keep the momentum going. Get your ticket today at noahsflood.com. Y'all, I am so excited to have Elizabeth Urbanowitz back with us today. Elizabeth spoke with us for years. She has been busy doing a lot of work, actually leaning into some of the feedback that she got at Teach Them Diligently and producing resources for even younger children. But she is all about teaching our kids to think biblically, giving them a solid worldview and a solid foundation for their faith, and giving great discipleship tools for families. So join me in welcoming Elizabeth Urbanowitz to the podcast today. Welcome, Elizabeth. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, it's so great to be on with you, Leslie. Thanks so much for having me on today. Well, you are welcome. I wanted to have you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you're doing there, since we haven't been able to hang out on site for a couple of years now. Make sure that everybody knows who you are and tell us a little bit about Foundation Worldview and what you're doing there.
Yes. So I am a big proponent of homeschooling. I am currently single, so I don't have any children of my own, but I think that homeschooling is just such a biblically grounded option for education for our children. And I began my professional career as a teacher in an elementary classroom at a Christian school. And I love working with kids. I love getting to teach them the whole truth. But several years into my teaching experience, I noticed that these children, they came from great Christian homes. I was giving them a biblically based education. They were involved in local churches. But because of the volume of information that they were presented with, just because of the world in which we live in, that they really lacked skills to evaluate the different ideas that came their way and to ask themselves, is this true or is this not true? So I just set out on a journey just trying to equip these little, 8 and 9 year olds in my classroom to think well, which eventually led to people wanting the resources that I had created. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a third grade teacher, not a Christian publishing house. But eventually the Lord led me out of the classroom to start Foundation Worldview, which is an organization that seeks to create discipleship resources for Christian parents to get their kids to carefully evaluate every idea they encounter. And at Foundation Worldview, what we're passionate about is learning more about how has God designed our children? What is God's design for the child mind? And how can we engage that child, body, mind, soul, and as a whole person to really get them to think critically and to think biblically in every area of life? And so I always tell people, right now I am not a parent, and with that comes the gift of time. So God has given me the time to invest. So hopefully we can come alongside other parents, very, very busy parents, and just say, here's some resources we can offer to help you get your kids thinking critically and biblically.
Oh, I love that. For David and I, that giving your children a foundation for your faith, actually equipping parents to disciple their kids and to have the confidence that they're doing it well, because that's another thing that I know a lot of parents really struggle with is, am I grounded enough? Do I understand these things enough? And like you noted, there is so much messaging coming at us, and the world is so ungodly and so just absolutely in opposition to what we know to be true, that to give tools to parents to help their children start to think through and reason through these things is so very, very valuable. And I'm so grateful that God has equipped you and given you the time and the resources to really help with this.
Yes, I'm grateful for that as well. And I like the way that you said that it's actually equipping our children with tools, because that's actually the mental picture that I think we need to have as we're training our children, because, we don't know exactly what's coming down the pipeline. The world is changing so fast, and especially with technology, we don't even know what's coming. But if we can give our children just some basic skills that they can carry with them in any and every situation, they're going to be prepared for stuff that we might not even know they need to be prepared to have. One of the things that we're really passionate about equipping parents to do with their children is to help them discern the difference between an idea that's either true, false, or a feeling. Because, the culture around us is telling our children, your feelings are the most reliable guide to reality, which we know as Christians, sometimes our feelings do point us to the truth, but because we live on the side of Genesis 3, sometimes they do not. So we want to equip them to tell the difference between truths and feelings. And we've had parents, who have written in and said, I was just playing, the simple truths and feelings game that you taught us, but I had no idea how it was going to impact my child. Parents have run into situations where their children have encountered, people who were dressed or presenting themselves as the opposite gender, and the parents are thinking, oh my goodness, this is my 4-year-old. I haven't prepared them for this. And their children have been able to take those skills and then say, oh, this is what's happening. Like one mom wrote in and she said her son, they ran into a man who was presenting himself as a woman. And, she just tried to hurry them on by. But her son said, Mommy, that's really sad, isn't it? And she said, what are you talking about? He's like, well, the truth is that God made him a boy, and that's a good thing. But he was believing his feelings instead of the truth. So if we can give our kids these tools, equip them with this tool belt, they can take that tool belt with them, to whatever they're going to encounter in culture and be prepared for it.
Well, and that's so impactful, because even when I was starting to raise my children, who are now 24 to 17, when we were first starting out as parents, we would have never imagined the contradictions that kids these days would be seeing. And so to give them that foundation, those tools, like you noted, that's going to really go across whatever the specific circumstances are, whatever the prevailing lie is, that equips them to navigate those and to bring their thinking around to truth, no matter what is thrown at them.
Absolutely. And I think homeschooling parents are some of the parents that are best equipped to do this because they spend so much time with their children and you already get how your children learn. You know, when you go to teach your children to read, you don't have them sit down and memorize thousands and thousands of words. You know, that would be crazy. They would, you know, they'd take them forever to learn how to read and they'd always be dependent on you. But instead, you know, the homeschooling mom or the homeschooling dad sits down with their child and teaches them 26 different letters and the sounds that correspond to those letters. And then you teach them how to put those letters together. And then they can read any word that they encounter. And it's the same, you know, with this. If we can give our kids some basic tools that they can then take in any situation, they're going to be prepared for whatever, you know, the world throws at them.
Absolutely. And another thing that you noted a minute ago that I wanted to key back on and actually have you expand on it a little bit more was this idea of feelings and your feelings being truth, because that doesn't just really impact our kids and what they're seeing all around them. But that's something that I see even in marriages and in every other relationship where we start so leaning into our feelings and just feeding on whatever our feelings are telling us that unless we are consciously rehearsing truth, like taking our thoughts captive, like we're told, thinking on these things, like we're told in Philippians, we find ourselves very susceptible to Satan's lies in a myriad of different ways.
Yes. Yes. And what you identified there is like why it's so important for us to train ourselves and our children to be aware of what's going on emotionally and whether we're following what that is or we're having our emotions follow us. I think it was in the book, Mama Bear Apologetics, I read this line that I loved that said, emotions are a wonderful check engine light, but a terrible GPS, you know? So emotions tell us like, oh, something's going on. I need to investigate this. But using them as a navigation tool is terrible. So that's why we need to equip our kids to identify, what is this that I'm thinking about? Is this what's true or is it my feelings? Because, and we need to do this at a time, you know, I'm sure any parent knows this. You don't want to have that conversation in a very emotionally charged environment. You know, you want to have that conversation to be able to practice discerning the difference between truths and feelings when it's fun, when it's a game, when you can enjoy it. So then when emotions are running high, you know, and your child might be in a situation where they need to be corrected or disciplined, you can then have the conversation. Okay, let's think about this. This feeling that you have, it's really strong. Is this feeling pointing you towards the truth or is this feeling pointing you away from the truth? So they already have those skills in place.
Yeah, so important to pass that on to them, but also, like you noted, to be exercising them yourself because you are modeling for your children how to think, how to react, how to respond, what you're building your life on. And that is the impact of that modeling. I don't think that we fully understand until you get way down the road and you kind of look back and see how God has used it. But it is a very, very impactful thing. And it makes sense because God set up families to function that way. That part of teaching them diligently is as you walk, as you talk, as you go about your daily life, you are constantly passing on these truths and passing on what is important to you by the way that you act in those everyday, mundane, in-between moments. Well, I know, Elizabeth, that you all have resources for children, you know, 4 and up. And so I wanted to ask you how, if I am a mom that has different age children, give me an idea of how I can start to really help my children understand how to address some of these cultural topics, some of these things that, you know, media is bombarding us with now that are just lies, but in a way that isn't, you know, unloving, ugly, hateful, whatever, you know, this is such a landmine for parents because they're trying to navigate love your neighbor, hate sin, you know, and all of these things. So how do you guys help equip parents? And what have you found as you're kind of diving into this and teaching this are some really good strategies for that?
Yes, excellent question. And so I'm going to give parents just a few different examples of things that you can do with your children. Now, you know the age and stages of your children best. So for those of you listening, I might give an example and you're like, oh, that's going to be too young for my kids. Or, oh, you know, I don't know, you know, like if that's going to be too hard for my little one. So you guys can determine that. And that's what you're skilled at already as homeschooling parents. But this concept that we've already talked about truth, is so important because in 1 year of our children's lives, you know, even if we're really careful about limiting their screen time, you know, limiting what activities they can be involved in 1 year of their life, they're going to be confronted with more competing ideas than most humans throughout history have been confronted with in their entire lives. And so we need to make sure that we are just training them to ask about truth, not truth and feelings. So with little ones, so if you have kids, if most of your kids are under the age of 10, now if you have kids over the age of 10, you can still do this with them, but just present it more as like, I want you to help your little brother or sister, you know, do this so that they're not feeling like they're talked down to. But just to play a game that we call the truth or not truth game. And so this is a game that we play early on in our biblical worldview curriculum. We say, okay, I'm going to say some sentences. Some of the sentences are going to be true sentences and they're going to tell you what's real. And if I say a true sentence, I want you to spread out your arms and say true, you know, and then practice that and then say, and I'm going to tell you some sentences that are silly sentences, some sentences that are not true. They don't tell what's real. And when I do that, I want you to cross your arms and say not true. And then just give them simple sentences, you know, like puppies are baby dogs. That's true. And then a silly sentence like, you know, puppies run on the ceiling. Oh my goodness, that's so silly. That's not true. And then just keep playing this true, not true game. So they first have those categories in their mind. Then after you've played that for a few days, add in a third category and say, I'm going to add in a third type of sentence. Some sentences that are feelings. These are things that are going to be inside of us and they're going to change from person to person to person. So just stick, you know, you can stick with the same categories, you know, puppies are baby dogs. That's true. Puppies run on the ceilings. That's not true. And then add something like puppies are fun and say, you know what? A lot of people feel like puppies are fun, but some people, when a puppy's chewing on their sofa, they do not feel like puppies are fun. And, you know, so that way they can play the true, not true feelings. And so that just creates a paradigm in their mind and you'll be surprised. When your kids are, you know, like when you're going on a little road trip, rather than like, let's play like, you know, 20 questions or I'm thinking of an animal, but like, let's play the truer feelings game. So that can just be a fun mental game. If you have children, if most of your children are a little bit older, if they're 7 on up, what you can do is find something that your children would really enjoy, some kind of prize, you know, like it could be a sticker, it could be a piece of chocolate, it could be, you know, like a breakfast with dad, you know, certificate, something that they would really enjoy, and hide it somewhere in your house. Then write out 2 or 3 different sets of directions, but only have one of them lead actually to where you've hidden this prize. And then explain to your kids, okay, we're going to go on a treasure hunt because somewhere around this house, I've hidden, you know, stickers or something. And then say, now I have directions here. Some of them are true directions. They show where the prize actually is. And some of them are not true directions. They do not. And then, you know, let them choose which ones they want. And if you want to develop camaraderie, you can have everybody work as a team on one set of directions, you know, and keep going through the directions. Or you can have your kids compete against one another, whatever you know would be best for your family, for your family's health. And then in the end, debrief, you know, like why, you know, like why the first 2 times did you not find the prize? Or why did, you know, like the 2 of you not find the prize when the 2 of you did? And talk about how the difference between the true directions and the not true directions and say, was it really important to know the true directions? Yeah, it was. And say, well, what if you had the true directions, but you decided not to follow them? What would have happened? You would have known the truth. But if you didn't follow it, you still would have missed out on the prize. And then you can relate that to life. You know, like what happens if we don't know the truth about who God is? What happens if we don't know, you know, the truth about the way we get saved from our sins? Or what happens if, you know, even if we don't know the truth about what time soccer practice starts, you know, like we're going to show up at the wrong time. And so that way you can just help that the middle-aged kids, you know, really think through that. If you have kids that are older and you're thinking like, oh, they're not going to want to go on a treasure hunt, you can do the same thing just with a recipe for a favorite family dessert. Say, you know, like tonight we're going to make monster cookies, you know, or whatever is your favorite family dessert, and have 2 different sets of instructions printed out, one of them being the actual recipe and one of them not. And then you can don't allow your children to eat anything that's dangerous or too salty or anything. Just putting that out there. I don't want to get sued for that. But then, you know, debrief, like, why is it that like one set of cookies turned out well and one didn't? Because if we can just get their bodies and minds engaged in this concept of truth, then we can transfer that over to real life situations. So that's what I would recommend for parents, you know, with kids of different ages. You can do one of those activities or all of those activities. But those are all things we include in our curriculums to try to really solidify this idea of, wow, knowing and following the truth is really important.
I love that. And I love the fact that as you were talking, it became so clear why it's so important to get good resources, good supports for your family, because a lot of the stuff that you said makes so much sense. It sounds easy to do. It is clearly great object lessons for our kids. And yet it's not something that I never came up with that. I never did anything like that. And it would have been so great if I did, but it just really underscores God has given us opportunity to equip our families with some great resources now. And that is just a real blessing of the age in which we live. There are some other things that aren't so much a blessing of the age in which we live, but the access to great resources and the way that God is leading people to create this stuff for our families is a huge, huge benefit for us living right now. But with all that said, God, through the ages, has given us a true source of absolute truth. We have an entire book that tells us everything that we need to know about life and godliness. It tells us who God is and how we relate to Him. We have a God who wants us to know Him. There is so much richness right there in God's Word. And I know that you are passionate, as I am, about getting kids in God's Word. So I want you to talk a little bit about that. Why is it so important to help whet our kids' appetites for getting in God's Word for themselves?
Yes. Oh my goodness. One of my favorite questions ever. Because a lot of times we sell our kids short. You know, we think like, oh, you know, like they're not quite old enough to understand scripture yet. Or we'll just include like this one verse, which don't get me wrong. Anytime we can include scripture, that's a great thing. But our kids are capable of so much. You know, God has given them these minds that, especially when they're little, you know, anyone who's ever raised a toddler knows kids are just like little sponges. They like absorb everything and their minds are constantly going and growing and they can do so much. And we want to make sure that as we're raising our children, that they are not dependent on us for their spiritual nourishment. Like, I mean, to some degree, are they? Yes, but we don't want to make them completely dependent. I like to think of the ancient proverb, you know, that says, give a man a fish and you fed him for today. Teach him how to fish and you fed him for a lifetime. Now, in so many aspects of parenting, what we're doing is exactly that. We're teaching our kids how to fish. You know, we teach our kids, you know, how to turn on the stove, you know, how to oil a pan, you know, how to crack an egg, how to use measuring cups, you know, because we don't want to be cooking them breakfast every morning when they're 32. You know, we want them to know how to cook. You know, we do the same thing with like washing clothes and making the bed and cleaning the house and driving a car. We're always, you know, pushing them towards independence. But for some reason, when it comes to actually reading, interpreting, and applying scripture, a lot of times we leave the responsibility on ourselves as the parents, you know, to lead family devotions. And again, that's a great thing if we're doing that. But we want to make sure that we're actually giving our kids the skills that they need to soundly read, interpret, and apply scripture. You know, as a teacher, I saw this in my own classroom that I love teaching Bible. You know, Bible was my favorite half hour to 45 minutes of the day. And I had this moment one day when I was teaching and I had my kids involved in this really engaging and interactive lesson, if you could believe it, in Numbers, you know, and all books. And I had this moment where they were engaged in activity and I looked around the classroom and I thought, once I'm not here to guide them, are these kids going to have any daily in-depth interaction with scripture? And I was like, no, because I haven't given them any skills to actually read God's word. And so I completely changed my Bible teaching that year. You know, rather than planning, you know, these crazy in-depth lessons, I said, you know what, I'm going to start teaching my kids how to read the Bible. And so like we started opening up scripture together and I would give them just some basic Bible study skills, some basic questions to ask. And we did it together at first. Then I had them do it in small groups, you know, the next month. And then they did it independently the month after that. And it's been exciting to bump into parents of these students, you know, who are now in like high school or college and say, oh, you know, like my son still has this daily habit of reading God's word. Or another parent told me, you know, their son was about to graduate high school. And he was like, you know what? My son has read through the entire Bible three times since he was in your third grade class. And like, it's like, oh, this is so exciting because this is what we want. Because we want our children to love God. And, you know, where do we learn who God is? You know, where does God's Spirit speak to us? It's in His Word. And that is our roadmap for life. And so if we want our children to have this accurate picture of reality, they have to be grounded in scripture and they have to know how to seek God through His Word on their own. So that's one thing that, you know, at Foundation Worldview, we're very passionate about. I know you guys at Teach Them Diligently are very passionate about this, as well as actually equipping our kids with just some basic skills to soundly read, interpret, and apply scripture. And similar to as I described before, you know, with reading, you know, when we don't just teach them the words, we teach them the letters so they can go and do it on their own. That's what we want to do. We want to teach them some basic things like, you know, we want them to understand the whole story of scripture. So anytime they're reading a passage, they understand where it fits in with the narrative. You know, we want to equip them to actually look at, okay, is this a descriptive text or is this a prescriptive text? You know, is this moving along God's story or is this giving me commands that like I need to follow and I need to act upon? You know, what is this verse actually saying? You know, if I look at this one verse, what was the author saying, you know, throughout the whole book? How do I understand this verse in context? So just some basic skills like that. And it's amazing what even, you know, like a 7 or an 8 or a 9-year-old can do when they're equipped with those skills.
Oh, no question. And in fact, we had an event this past weekend where we were talking to parents about discipleship largely. It was a discipleship-focused parenting event that we were conducting. And we were talking a lot about being in scripture ourselves, modeling that for our kids, the impact of that, which is you cannot overstate when you're constantly doing it yourself and talking about it. It just makes your kids think that's what Christians do because that's all that they see. But then to give them the time, give them the opportunity, give them enough accountability just that, you know, we're going to talk about it at breakfast. Just everybody sharing what they've learned, whatever. And it can be so silly when they're little, and that's okay because you're just getting them used to getting in God's word at whatever level they can and then actually talking about it. What I didn't realize when my kids were growing up was this little idea that God gave as an answer to prayer, Lord, I want to disciple my children. And, you know, he just whispers these little ideas to you in answer to that of us discussing what we had learned at breakfast gave my children this boldness now that they're adults to speak things of the Lord. It's like just second nature to them. But that's something because of these little tiny steps of obedience and watching God work day by day. It wasn't this big spiritual, you know, overwhelming one moment in time, you know, shining light like Paul had. It was these little incremental things, giving them some tools, some resources, giving them the opportunity to talk to me about it as I was sharing how I was growing. Very natural, but very intentional. And God used it magnificently. So that's how we've seen it kind of in our family. But I wanted to ask you, are there any specific tools or resources that you have found in working with parents that children need or that is really, really helpful for kind of putting this practice into play?
Yes. Well, we have a whole curriculum on this called it's called Studying the Bible Curriculum, where we kind of walk, you know, parents and children just through several basic Bible study skills, you know, so that they're equipped to read scripture on their own. And just for any parents who are thinking like, okay, you know, I'd like to do this tomorrow morning at breakfast. So just 3 simple questions, just basic questions that we can train ourselves and our kids to ask anytime we're reading scripture is, what does this passage reveal about God? So that we're primarily looking for God in his word, because that's primarily what scripture is about. You know, sometimes we go and we immediately look for, you know, like, what does this tell me? And yes, we do want, you know, God is speaking to us, but we are not the primary character in scripture. You know, God is. And so to have that be the first question, you know, what truths does this passage reveal about God? Then next to look at, you know, what truths does this passage reveal about humans? You know, so looking at, you know, how does this impact me? And then what should I do now that I know this? You know, so primarily they're looking for God. Then they're looking for, okay, how does this impact me? And then what should I do now that I know that? So those are 3 questions, you know, that even a 4-year-old can answer, you know, on a very, very basic level. So if we can just start asking those 3 questions to ourselves and our kids anytime we're reading scripture, we're going to be training them to be primarily looking for God in the text because he is the main character in scripture. We're going to be training them to look at an accurate picture of themselves and then training them not just to, you know, grow in head knowledge of like, oh, this is what the Bible says, but to actually act upon it. So I think that that's just, you know, 3 very basic questions. It's super simple to implement. And then would just also encourage parents, you know, as you're leading family devotions, really giving your kids some ownership in it. You know, so like, yes, when our kids are young and they can't read yet, you know, we're going to have to be the ones that read scripture out loud to them. But, you know, really once they're at that 1st or 2nd grade level, there's not a whole ton of words, you know, unless we're going through like genealogies. There's not a
we
whole
can't
ton
read
of
those
words
either very well. So.
I know, we can't either. So we're on level footing there. But most of the time, they're able to decode most of the words in scripture. So to actually say, okay, you know, today we're in, you know, Psalm 100 or whatever it is, you know, and, you know, you're going to read this for us, you know, and so to actually include them and then ask those questions, that can really start to get a develop a good habit in our kids. Like you were saying, Leslie, like it's not just a like, okay, here's our one time a year, we're going to do this crazy thing. It's like these small incremental building of habits that we want to last with our kids and then really getting them engaged and involved.
It's so true. And the insight that you get into their hearts through those little conversations is unbelievable. But also, I can't tell you how many times God used the insight of a 4-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old in what we were reading because they have the faith of a child. They don't have all of these things cluttering up their head. They just see God a lot of times. And so their insights, what they're extracting, the way that they phrase things, God used to convict or to challenge David and I more times than I can even tell you. So that's the other side of this is just as you are growing as a family, as you are investing in this time and intentionally discipling your children and teaching them to be in God's word, God uses them so often in your own life and your own walk with him that it's just, it's really, really exciting to see his plan again for families played out just so beautifully.
Yes, I love that. And I love that you're a living testimony of that, you know, that you and David have walked through this and you, you know, like have learned alongside your kids and with them and from them. And now, you know, you have adult children that you're seeing faithfully live for Jesus. So that's so encouraging.
Yeah. And so grateful. You know, we just look back and thank the Lord for the way that he led. We had no grand vision for what that would look like because we didn't know enough to have that kind of a vision. We just knew that we wanted to obey each step of the way and to present God to them every step of the way. We wanted to train them to think biblically, to get into his word on their own, and to have a solid foundation for their own faith. And he is so faithful to answer those prayers and to give you the insight and the wisdom to lead them in that way. And it's just amazing. Before we go, though, I wanted to just kind of go back to the culture today, because, you know, as we are equipping them to think critically and biblically, we are getting them in God's word day by day. There are some issues that Satan, who is so wily, who is so deceptive, can wrap in such a crazy, convoluted way that even as adults, it's hard to wade through and, you know, kind of get to what is truth here. How do you encourage parents to teach their kids to attack these tough cultural issues so that they can really set their mind what is true as they address them?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we train kids and, you know, parents alongside them to ask or to do in our comparative worldview curriculum is to try to get to the root at what's behind an issue, because sometimes things are just so crazy. It can feel like, oh my goodness, like, God, I know your word has to speak to this, but I don't know exactly where it speaks to this. And I don't know, you know, like what exactly you have to say to this. So to ask, okay, like, what is the big question behind this? So what we teach kids in our comparative worldview curriculum is that most issues we're going to face in culture have to do with truth. They have to do with God. They have to do with humanity. They have to do with creation. Or they have to do with morality, what's right and wrong. And now sometimes there might be like multiple things addressed in one question. But when we think about something, you know, like the concept of like using pronouns, which is something that is so huge nowadays, you know, that somebody who, you know, is a biological male, you know, that lives next door to you or is, you know, your cousin or nephew or, you know, whoever tells you, you know, now they're going by a female name and they go by the pronouns she and her. And we're like, okay, what do we do? You know, like, what do we do, Lord? We know we're called to love others, but we know we're called to speak truth, you know? So to pause and say, okay, well, what is the question behind this? So when we think about this person who's biologically male, asking us to refer to himself as she or her, there's a couple of questions that are hit on right there. One is truth. You know, what is actually true? Is this person a male or is this person a female? And the other question is about identity, about who we are as humans. So then we can train our kids to say, okay, so this has to do with truth and it has to do with humans. So let's think about this. If we suddenly call, you know, our cousin or our next door neighbor, if we start calling him by she and her, what are we doing? Are we helping him believe the truth? No, we're actually feeding into a lie. And what does that have to do with how God created him? Well, we know that God created us in his image as male or female. And being male or female is part of being made in God's image. So if we actually go along with this and start calling, you know, our cousin a her, what are we doing? We're not aligning ourselves with how God has created our cousin in his image. So, you know, like we're going to have to talk to our kids then, you know, so we're not going to call, you know, whoever this cousin is, her, because we're not going to lie and we're not going to deny God's identity. We know that this cousin is created in God's image. So how are we going to treat him? We're going to treat him with love. We're not going to ignore him. We're not going to yell at him. You know, we're not going to sit down and explain the 10 reasons why he's wrong. We're going to love him. We're going to be kind, but we're not going to use she and her when we talk to this cousin. So things like that, to be able to ask those questions, does this have to do with truth? Does it have to do with God? Does it have to do with who we are as humans? Does it have to do with like creation in general? Or does it have to do with morality, with right or wrong? Because when we have those categories in our mind, before we talk to our children, we can sit down and be like, okay, what category does this fall into? You know, and then help our children do that. And we can do that. You know, it doesn't have to be as a stressful situation as we're having Thanksgiving, you know, and our cousin is transitioning to a female. You know, it can be something like, you know, like you're watching Bluey, you know, or Wildcrats, you know, after quiet time, you know, and just talk through like, okay, what did they say? You know, on Wildcrats, they just talked about how these animals evolved in the ocean. Like, what does that have to do? Oh, that has to do with creation, you know? And so like, let's talk about that, you know, or it can be, you know, a conversation that they have on the playground, or it can be a billboard that you pass on the highway, but just to constantly ask yourself, okay, what big area does this, you know, this statement fall into? And then how is God's word spoken to that area? I think that can just help take away a lot of the tension for ourselves when we're thinking, how do I evaluate this? And also give our kids, you know, a paradigm through which to evaluate all the different ideas that culture and the world and the devil are throwing their way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the fact that you are giving tools to really train parents to disciple their children through these things, but also giving the tools for the children to be able to start thinking on their own. It's such a good approach. And even as you were talking about, I was just so grateful that this is available in for such a time as this, in such a difficult era to live, a difficult era to navigate. And I'm sure all eras of culture have been wrought with their own issues. But I think with social media, with the internet, just and the amount of messaging that our kids are being confronted with, and us as moms and dads are being confronted with, it's really, really important to have good tools, good helps to be able to equip and teach your children well. So we're about out of time, but I want you to tell us where everyone can find your resources, but also go through, you've mentioned several of your resources as we've gone, but can you maybe work us from bottom, you know, like lower level, youngest level, all the way up through some of the more teenagery type resources that you have?
Yes. So our company's name is Foundation Worldview. And so if you can remember that name, you just go to foundationworldview.com. foundationworldview.com. And then we currently have three different tracks of curriculum. And now these curriculums, the goal is not to replace your math curriculum or your history curriculum or your science curriculum. The goal is to be a supplemental curriculum that you implement once a week. So once a week during your school year, however you do your school year. And then it supplements what you're going to do in all your other curriculum so that it connects with all of them. And you're thinking, oh, now I get how this connects with what we're seeing in culture. So we have three different tracks. We have our biblical thinking track. And so for kids 4 and up, we have our biblical worldview curriculum. So that one's really engaging their bodies and their voices. You know, they'll say things loudly and quietly, and they'll stand up and sit down. And we just go through the basics of a biblical worldview. Then for kids 8 on up in that track, we have our comparative worldview curriculum, which that takes the biblical worldview, but then adds in 4 competing worldviews that they're going to be presented with in culture. And they're responsible for comparing and contrasting. How is this similar to the Christian worldview and how is it different? What do I find in the world around me? So that they're the ones discovering that Christianity consistently lines up with what we find in the world around us. And then for kids 12 on up, we have what we call our careful thinking curriculum. And that just gives them a bunch of different tools to carefully evaluate, you know, the quick, pithy little statements that they're going to come across, you know, and everything from billboards to social media to talking with a friend, just to be able to evaluate, okay, is this true? Is this not true? We also have a biblical literacy track. For kids 4 and up, we have an attributes of God curriculum, which just grounds kids in a biblical understanding of who God is. And then we, for kids 8 on up, we have are studying the Bible curriculum, which gives them those skills to soundly read, interpret, and apply scripture on their own. And then we have a new track coming this summer, which we're calling our biblical sexuality. And so we only have one curriculum for that so far. It's for kids 4 and up. We're calling it God's good design. And so it's grounding them in the fact that we see design in our bodies. We see design in our minds, that God has designed marriage and God has designed family, and that he has a very specific purpose for it, so that we're laying that positive biblical theology so that when they are inevitably, you know, faced with deviations from God's good design, they're already prepared to understand what God's good design is and why these deviations are deviations. So that's what we have currently as we're recording this podcast.
So exciting. It's so exciting. And I'm so grateful that you guys have those available, that you've thought through things, that, you know, you've been given the time and the resources and really the intentionality to think through some of these things to provide these helps for parents. So we'll be sure that we link all of these resources in the show notes, be able to point people to you as they have questions. But Elizabeth, thank you so much for spending the time with us today. It's been a joy.
No, thanks for having me on, Leslie. I've enjoyed being with you.
Well, you are very welcome. To everyone else, thank you so much for joining us. You know, we say all the time, your home is your Jerusalem, because the Great Commission starts right there. And so by teaching your children to think biblically, by helping instill in them good habits of getting in God's Word, getting to know him and think the way that he has shown them to think about all of these areas that Elizabeth was talking about, you are providing them with a foundation so that when they launch out into whatever culture will look like when they're adults raising their own children, that they are equipped for such a time as this. So check out Elizabeth's resources. Go to foundationworldview.com and check that out. And I hope that I get to see you at a Teach Them Diligently event this spring so that we're able to discuss all of these things more in depth. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you found this episode to be very practical and encouraging, and that you've got some great takeaways to start implementing in your heart school right away. Go to teachthemdiligently.net/podcast to catch up on all the episodes and to learn more about the other resources and experiences Teach Them Diligently offers families like yours. Subscribing and leaving a rating and review for the Teach Them Diligently podcast is a very practical way you can join in our ministry of encouraging Christian homeschool families around the country. Would you take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and a few sentences of review? It would mean the world to us if you would. Thanks in advance for your kindness, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.